Okay, well, welcome. We'll go ahead and get started here this morning. We have a guest Sunday school teacher this morning, as well as a guest preacher later this morning and tonight, so we're looking forward to that. We welcome John and Kayla are with us from way up yonder in Minnesota, St. James, Minnesota, you'll tell us more about that at some point. And they got here yesterday, and they're looking into the possibility of coming here and serving here as assistant and see how the Lord leads in that. We enjoyed a fellowship with them last night and appreciate their willingness to come. You have five children, and we were hoping they'd come, but it didn't work out for them to be able to come with them. But we're glad you two can come. We're glad Kayla can come and can bring John with her. So anyway, we look forward to hearing from him this morning. He's going to be sharing in the Sunday school hour and then again the morning service as well. So, well, John, you just go ahead and come and I'll let you take it from here. And we shoot for about 10:15. When we stop, so you can open in prayer. And
all right, will do. All right, good morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time to come and to meet this body of believers, Lord. I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, you brought each one of us here for a reason today, and we thank you for that, because we know that you are good and you are perfect in all your ways and that you are good to us. We thank you for that. Bless our time here together. May it be sweet fellowship around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as Pastor Terry said, we came all the way from Minnesota, but we've only been there since the 20th of last month. I was talking to my wife yesterday on the way down here, and I said, I don't know where is home, because we drove through an area, Blair, Nebraska. And he said, this is really weird, because usually when we're coming through here, we're headed home. Home was central Nebraska, a little bitty town, 700 people, St. Edward. And, it's not home. And that was a reminder to us, once again, we are not home here. We are what? We are pilgrims. We are aliens. We are strangers here on this earth. And God has used circumstances like this over the years. This isn't the first time, is it? It's first time exactly like this, but we've had other times close. Use those circumstances as a constant reminder not to rely on what we have here on this earth. And I want that to tie right in with what we're going to do, what we're going to look at this morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and very familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of you. I'm going to look at this, and we're not going to spend a lot of time in here, though. We're not going to look at what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. We're going to talk about what it doesn't say. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I found this is one of the verses in Scripture that gets misinterpreted more than most. Anybody got any ideas of where I'm going with that? How you've heard this misinterpreted? What do people always say? God doesn't give you more than you can handle, right? You ever heard that? Anybody here heard that? Everybody here has heard that. Is that what this verse is saying? It's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that God will not allow us to be tempted without providing a way of escape. There's a big difference. Like I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. We could have a whole message and more on what this verse says. Like I said, I've heard a lot of people pull that out of that verse. And, in the past, I may have believed that. And that's kind of discouraging, because there's times I've fallen flat on my face and go, what's wrong with me? I thought God didn't give me more than I can handle. Well, I'm here this morning to remind us all that it's all more than we can handle. If we do it in our own strength, we're going to fall flat on our face again and again and again. Turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. Daniel reminds the king, Belshazzar, of his dependence on God. King Belshazzar didn't recognize that at all. Are you familiar with the story in Daniel chapter 5? How the handwriting on the wall, we won't look into that. If you are not familiar with that, I urge you, read that story this afternoon. Maybe read it again anyhow. It's a great story. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories, and I've got a lot of them there in the Old Testament. But I love this story. I had a children's record when I was a kid that we, Ethel Barrett. Anybody heard of Ethel Barrett telling Bible stories? Okay. She was great. Great Bible and missionary story. On one of those nice records, we listened to that as kids, and she told this story about Daniel and the handwriting on the wall. And that always has been one of my favorites ever since. But we'll look at just verse 23 here. Daniel's talking to King Belshazzar. It says, "And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. You and your lords, your wives, and concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised gods of silver, gold, bronze, and iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified." Who is the God that he's not glorifying? The God who what? Go ahead and say it. Holds your breath in his hands. What's that? What's breath? Your life. Right? We don't live one more second, one more moment, other than by the grace of God. Even unbelievers, God is keeping them alive for another chance to repent. We as Christians need to remind ourselves of that. Go back to the beginning of Scripture, Genesis 1 and 2. God made us out of dust. He formed us. There we were. Psalm that says, "We're knit together. I was knit together in my mother's womb." The God who made us, who holds our very breath in his hands. Now, my background for 28 and a half years has been law enforcement. And I've seen a lot of things in that time. And I've come to know that when it is someone's time to go, it is their time to go. And when God is going to preserve that life, he's going to preserve that life. I've seen God miraculously spare people who walked away from things that should have killed them. And I've seen people die. Why? What happened? Because our breath, our very existence on this earth depends on God. I want to start there with our dependence on him, bring it down to that very basic, and remind ourselves that you all woke up this morning, made it to church, right? That's the grace of God right there in our lives. I think of the times going through hardships, and I've been able to walk forward and be the tough guy and go through all those things, and I had to stop and remind myself, that's not my strength. That's not my abilities. That's God-given abilities. Our son, we have 5 children, a boy, 2 girls, and 2 boys. Our oldest broke his femur when he was 16 working cattle on our family's farm and ranch. And 5 weeks later, was it? He re-broke the rod that they put in there, broke. And he was back in there, and we had to go through that. And I'm sitting there in the hospital with him again, and he goes, "Dad, how do you do it?" And it's like, because God has given me that ability to do that. Maybe God hadn't given everybody the ability to do that. My wife and I split time on certain things. There's some things she can handle that I can't. There's some things that I can handle that she can't. But it's that God-given ability, and we complement one another, and it, praise the Lord, it's in his strength that we do it. Another good place to be reminded of that would be over in John 15. Familiar passage again, John 15, verse 1 through 6. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Particularly I like verse 5 there. Without me you can do nothing. We are helpless. We are dependent on Christ. How many here come from an agriculture background? Had a garden? A lot of you? Yeah. Whatever it might be. I have both. Come from both. I'm missing the garden this year. I love to garden. I love to have that good stuff. How many times have you seen that tomato plant in particular? That's the thing I always think about here. I'm not familiar with grapes enough to understand this, but I'm familiar with a lot of other things. And I see those tomato branches breaking off, that nice branch that's going to produce a lot of fruit, and it breaks off. It doesn't hang on to the stalk. It doesn't abide in that vine, and it's dead. And you salvage what hopefully you can get out of there, half-ripe fruit, but it's dead. It's not going to produce anything anymore. We as believers are kept to abide in Christ. We can't lose our salvation, amen. But we as believers need to abide in Christ in a different way, staying in his word, walking in tune with the Spirit, as it says in other places. I'm going to get ahead of myself into the message, so I'm going to leave that there. But we as believers need to abide in Christ. We need to go forward in his strength. I always contrast this verse with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Excuse me. Now, that's a verse that gets misused a lot too. It's a lot of people say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, look at me, I'm going forward. No. It's the emphasis is on through Christ who strengthens me. If I can't do it, maybe he's not giving me the strength to do it, right? Maybe it's not something I should be doing. We're charging forward trying to do it in our own strength. We got to learn our dependence on him. There's a big contrast there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus reminds us, without me, you can do nothing. It's all or nothing. How many times have you gone forward with what you thought was your own strength and then fell flat on your face? Yeah. Okay, me too. I'm glad there's somebody else here that's a slow learner like I am. Because, you know, here we are again. We went from a 6-bedroom, 3-bathroom house down to a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom house with 7 people in there, living there in that parsonage in Minnesota, and going, Lord, what are you trying to say here? Well, by God's grace, I'm going to brag on my kids since they're not here. They have stepped up, and in his strength, they're doing things. Our youngest, his 2 big brothers, they're going off to work virtually every day, and I'm gone working the second job to try and keep the family going. So our 15-year-olds had to step up and be the man of the house in a lot of ways. And God has given him an ability now that just a couple weeks ago was really not being used, really wasn't there. And God has enabled him. He's doing it now because God has given him that ability now, that strength. So, where is our strength found? Where do we find our sufficiency? Obviously, in Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians for that. 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, when I take my glasses off to see you, then I got to get them back on to see here. That's the part about getting past a certain age, right? We won't go there. All right. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 16. Just to get a little bit of the context, I guess we could To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Jump over to chapter 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you missed what verse, what word is jumping out there, I'm not going to read it again. You read it again. What is it? Sufficiency. Where is that sufficiency found? In Christ. And this is talking about serving the Lord. I think a lot of the other things is talking about that too, but I was looking at those more in the context of daily life. But this, Paul is talking about, we don't serve God in our own strength either. All of us are called to serve, right? Every one of us. I'm very thankful I grew up in a church that taught that. From a young age, they had kids involved, they had the youth involved, they had all of us involved. One way or the other, whatever it might be, those little things. Hey, be involved. Serve the Lord here. Well, if we're serving God in our own strength, in our own ability, to our own glory, what's going to happen? It's going to be a failure, right? How many times have we seen people in positions of public positions that are servants of the Lord, whatever they might be, that have fallen recently? It's sad. It really is. And yet, I don't think they were doing it. I don't think Christ was their sufficiency. I think it was their own strength they were going out there in. In fact, I think from the authority of the Word of God, we can be pretty sure that's what happened, that they were doing it on their own. And I encourage each of us to remember that, because sometimes it feels pretty good to have everybody looking at you and what you're doing and say, hey, look at what God has done for, gifted me to do. No. Look at what God is doing through each of us, his humble servants. Christ is our sufficiency. If we can learn that in life, I think if anything comes close to the secret of the Christian life, I think that's it, that Christ is our sufficiency. We find all that we need in him. My wife and I have been married for 27 years this year, and I have a lot of my needs met through my family. But what is that family? What is that marriage? But a gift from God. And we recognize that. We recognize those people in our lives who've touched our lives, right? And we are thankful for them, and we tell them we're thankful for them. We show our gratitude. But to remember that that's ultimately from God. If we put our dependence on those people, all too often God takes them away, whatever that may look like. Moves us away from them, moves us away from that comfort zone. That's happened to me before. Oh, I got to remember, it's not those people that have taken care of me. It was God using those people to take care of me. He moved me somewhere else, and he provided another group of people to minister to me, to take care of me. We found that in just that very short little bit of time that we've been in Minnesota. It's kind of neat. The first Friday we were there, one of the ladies in the church, she's one of the stalwarts there. She keeps things going with that small congregation. She's somebody that is very committed cleaning the church. We send a couple kids over there to say, hey, we'll be right over there. We didn't know you were coming right now, but we're finishing supper. We'll be right there. There is this much water in the church basement. So it became all hands on deck. We all jumped in there together. A few other people from the church came, and we cleaned up that little church basement and quickly realized that God was providing another group of friends and believers that we thought we were going to miss so much, these other ones. And we do. We miss those good friends back in Nebraska. God's provided another group of believers in the new place to meet those needs. But it's from who? From God. God provides, right? God provides all those things. I'm going to get ahead of myself for this later this morning too. So we'll just turn over to Galatians. Galatians, just a little ways over there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Familiar verse 2 for a lot of us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My spiritual life, ability to walk in a life well-pleasing, to live the Christian life, comes where? From God. And we recognize to die to self is what we need to do. Crucify the old man. Recognize it's not us. The life that I now live, I live in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, this is the one I haven't had to mark, so it'll take me a little bit longer to get there. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. How many places could we go on and find Paul and others talking about their complete dependence on Christ? Paul said, yeah, I labored more. And we know the story of Paul throughout the book of Acts and other history that we know, all that he did and all the churches he planted. I labored more than all, yet not I, not me, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God I am that I am. I find this very comforting, as I said before, that it's all more than I can handle. Because when I get in the middle of things, and it is more than I can handle, I'm not freaking out. Well, maybe I do. Maybe I do start to despair, have to remind myself that no, it's all right. It's not beyond God. It might be beyond me. And then to remind myself that yes, it is all beyond me. I think this should drive believers to be a lot of things. Can you think of anything? What do you think this knowledge that it's all more than we can handle? What does this encourage you to be, to do in life? What would this encourage you to do? Okay. Yeah. Don't try and go forward without him. That's right. Anyone else?
To pray.
Amen. Exactly. We're asking God for help. We're coming to him. Anyone else? That's right. We go ahead. Yes. We can go forward boldly, can't we? Did I not get it turned on? Oh, it got bummed. I'm not used to that kind of a microphone directly. But that's right. We can have confidence when we go forward, when we know that it's something that God has called us to do, because we know that he's going to enable us. That's right. One of the things I think of, it makes us more thankful because we're not looking at ourselves and our abilities and, you know, look at me. We're looking at God and we're saying, that was you. That was you that did that. I'm thankful for what you've done. So it leads to a lot of those things. That's very good. Thankful. Anyone else?
Yeah, a lot of times we
Yeah, it leads to humility, doesn't it? And what does Paul say? I boast in what? In the cross of Christ. I don't boast in my abilities. Paul gives all of his abilities, and he said, all that's worthless to me. None of that amounts to anything. It's all in Christ. So, yeah, it leads to humility, to exalting Christ and not ourselves. Anyone else? Appreciate this. This is good thoughts here on this. Now, I'm gonna give a couple people a bad time here. This was kind of last minute I was asked to do Sunday school, so I'm getting a little bit short here. So I'm passing the buck a little bit. We talked about this a little bit, Terry and I did yesterday. And so I'm a little short, but can open up a little bit of time and tell a little bit more about myself. And like I said, for 28 years, I've been in various kinds of law enforcement, all small town, rural Nebraska. And over past several years, really, within the past 14 that I've been with the last department I just left, in particular, God has just been working certain things, making certain things happen, bringing certain opportunities to my life. And I'll get into more of that during the Sunday evening time, with more question and answer time. But out of the blue, I had a former pastor call me several years ago now, quite a few years, and said, hey, I'm out of town. Do you want to come and preach at my church? I'm like, well, I've never done anything quite like that before. I'd done an adult Sunday school class in a church that would have been, the number of people would have been you guys in the back three pews. Very small church that we were in. Our family literally took over the church when we came in. We outnumbered them, and which was fine. They loved it. They were all older people, and they loved having us in there. The kids were little. Our youngest was born while we were there during that time. So it was an interesting experience, and the pastor walked up to me a couple Sundays in. He knew my background. Pastor of my home church had trained him years before in a little seminary in northeast Nebraska that they had. My pastor was one of them that helped train the pastors there. He goes, if you grew up in Pastor Lyle's church, right? Yeah. He goes, well, I want you to teach adult Sunday school class. Take a load off of him. So I was teaching that, doing some of those things, but I'd never gone and preached before. I had this pastor friend of mine say, come and preach for me. Well, that got things going, and God works in his own timing, right? His timing is not ours. And it sometimes, you know, you see Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, and a lot of those things, you know, Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Paul went into the wilderness before his ministry. There's a lot of process that leads up to those things that in God's time. But that opened the door to start doing that more and more. And I was, you know, we were in a church that didn't have a full-time pastor. I preached there more than anywhere else. But there's another number of other churches where pastors out of town, things like that. And, hey, you want to come and do pulpit supply for us? Yeah, okay. Something that gave me a respect for those who do it day in and day out. There's a lot of work that goes into that. And it's, but most recently, the Lord led me to pursue chaplaincy, law enforcement chaplaincy. And there's one of those things that this whole thing, it's all more than you can handle. That came out of that in a lot of ways. God showed me that he could use me, not my abilities. That it was him. There was a tragedy in our county where someone was killed and in an accident. And the coworker that saw it happen, nobody was there to minister to him. offer to pray with him, any of that. And I said, you know, I was very, very frustrated as I walked away, drove away from that site. All was done. Everything was over. I moved on. I had other things to do that day. And the closest I've ever had the Lord speak to me. If you had a chaplain badge, you could just walk up to that guy and say, hey, I'm the department chaplain. Can I pray with you through this time? Is there anything I can do? He could have said, get out of here. Okay. But he might have said, yeah, I could use that. Well, okay, so now what do I do? Lord, you give me an idea. How does this work? Well, I had a little time in my truck at the time to give a call, so I called my wife and I said, hey, what do you think of it? So I think it's a great idea. Let's see what we can, you know, let's go for it. Called another Christian friend of mine who I knew would be available during that time of the day. And he got all excited and he started reminding me of all the things that God had done in my life to bring me to this point. I want to remind you that God's done a lot of things in your past that you look at and go, I don't know why you did that. Everything was for a reason. Everything was bringing you to where you are today, to where you serve him today. It's all built upon what he's brought you through in the past. And my unusual friend there that I appreciated at that time, he reminded me of that. He said, God has brought you to this point. Well, then I had to talk to my boss. Now, my boss there, my sheriff, was and is an unbeliever, unfortunately. I don't know what he's going to say about it. Yeah, he attends a mainline denominational church, and he's moderately faithful there, but I don't think church is really important to him of any stripe, let alone that he knows the Lord. And then trying to catch him when he wasn't busy and I wasn't busy, that was another thing that had to come from God, because it just doesn't happen real easy. And so I caught him like right before lunch, and I said, hey, what do you think? You were at the same place I was. I would have liked to gone up and prayed with that guy. Maybe if I was a chaplain, I could do something like that. What do you think? He goes, go for it. You go do it. Without hesitation, he said, you go do it. Do what you need to do on the church end or whatever, and I'll give you my authority, his authority to do it. So this was in the summertime, and throughout the rest of the summer and through the fall, tried to figure out where we're going to go to get this accomplished. And finally, like, why don't I just go through my local church? The local church that we were attending at the time was in that county. I talked to the leadership there, and they said, if you're ministering to people in our county, in our home territory, we're behind you. And so I was commissioned as chaplain in December of 2015. And my wife has been very much part of that ministry, thankfully. When I deal with women, I've been very blessed to have her along, and she's a part of that. She might not have the words to say all the time, but she can care. And when that lady on my department that saw the suicide in the jail needed a hug, my wife was there to do it. So I tell you that to let you know that my family is part of my ministry. My wife first and I are a team. And no matter what we do, no matter what happens in our life, no matter where the Lord calls us, we're in this together. I couldn't be doing this without her. It's more than I can handle. God has given her to me to help me handle it. That's one of the ways God meets our needs, right? Through the people he places in our lives, through all those things. And so that's kind of some of the things that brought me to where I am today, looking at full-time ministry, and we'll go more into that this evening especially. I appreciate everything this morning, your insights. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time around your word. Thank you that you don't leave us helpless, Lord, even though we are, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Help us as we go forward to be thankful, to be humble and bold, because we're doing what you would have us to do and not our own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.